Actually, if you want to a little bit of light entertainment over lunchtime, and you want to, or you have the facility to go on YouTube, and to other streaming services are available, and look up more about Jesus, and the version by the Blackwood Brothers from the Gaither Music Channel. Okay, just look it out, all right? And then if you can sing like the guy that sings the second verse, please go see Cliff in case he needs another bass singer. If you want to be a tenor, you need to go to verse 3. Okay, I'm just saying, it's out there. I'm going to use this microphone this morning because it's going to be closer to my mouth and I'm not going to have to shout at you. So there is no strident message this morning in terms of preaching. You'll be glad to hear. I don't know if you ever watch films over Christmas. This tends to be a bit of a Christmas film one. And it's a musical. You like musicals? Yeah? Okay. You'll know this probably from about line 3. Is it worth the waiting for? If we live till 84, all we ever get is gruel. Have a look at the picture. Oh, Mark Lester, bless him. Sweet and innocent, please, sir. Of course, you know the story, don't you? That the boys in the workshop orphanage, they drew lots to see which one of them was going to go and ask for more. I mean, face it, would you want to go and ask Harry Secombe for more? Just saying. Please, sir, I would like some more. What would you like more? Food, glorious food? Sing along if you know the words. Hot sausage and mustard, while we're in the mood, cold jelly and custard, peas pudding and saveloys. What next is the question? Rich gentlemen, have it, boys. Indigestion. Can I also say, in terms of the context of Oliver, and aligning that with Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, the other song in the musical, which says you've got to pick a pocket or two, it is not an instruction. You don't. And actually, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28 says quite clearly, if you are a thief, stop stealing. Begin using your hands for honest work. And then give generously to others in need. Some very good advice there, actually, in Ephesians 4. Living as children of light. Don't use foul and abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. You see, Paul wanted people to know infinitely more about Jesus. Now, they wanted the knowledge of Jesus to be reflected in their day-to-day living. And I guess I'm going to worry you now. I'm going to come off the platform a moment. Because I want to do a little bit of a vox pop. Do you know what vox pop is? Vox pop. It's just asking people for their opinion. Okay, I'm going to prepare you with the question before I stick a microphone under your nose, all right? So you can look away now if you don't want to do it. At what point in your daily lives is God closest to you? That's the question. At what point in your daily life is God closest to you? Okay? That's the question. What's the answer? Anybody want to be brave enough? I don't want a sermon. Looking at you, Major Lorna. Okay, I'll behave. At what point in the day is God closest to you?
That's sermon, first thing in the morning.
First thing in the morning. Okay. Anyone else?
It's often in the morning, though it varies quite a bit as well.
Thank you for your honesty, Major Keith. Sarah?
Mine's in the morning when I'm out with the dog and you see the sun coming up.
Lovely. Yes, Kath?
When I wake up and I can feel, even though I'm half asleep, I can feel his presence there.
Lovely. That's great. Anybody else? When's God closest to you, Becky?
On the way to work, I've got my podcast on.
Splendid. Listening to a podcast in the radio, or the radio in the car. Anybody else? When is God... I can see people cringing as I walk around the congregation. Desperately, nobody's wanting to make eye contact with me whatsoever. A couple more.
First thing in the morning and last thing at night.
Okay, first thing in the morning, last thing at night. Splendid. Anyone else? Yeah, I've got a couple more.
Last thing at night, just before going to sleep.
Just before you fall asleep. That's the time when God is closest to you.
Yeah, I'm going to say he's close all the time, but I'm not always in tune enough to notice it.
Thank you, John. Anyone else? When is God closest to you? Anyone here with an answer? Okay, that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. If you've got a Bible with you, and you look at Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 14 to 21, which we read earlier in a meeting. In the context of when does God feel closest to you, we are talking about a God who is the creator of the heavens and earth, made everything. We're talking about a God, verse 16, who from his glorious unlimited resources, so here's God who's got everything. And I think it's quite right that so often we get on with the busyness of our day, and those of you who have said, first thing in the morning, yeah, I agree with you, I do agree with you, when you get up in the morning, where does your first thought go? And I hope that for many of us who are Christians, our first thought is a prayer of thanksgiving for a new day, for God. Because he is there with all his vast resources. The God who created the heavens and the earth is waiting for you to acknowledge his presence first thing in the morning. His resources are completely unlimited. If we were to look into Psalm 36, for example, here is the psalmist saying, verse 5, your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the ocean depths. Deep and wide, deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing, deep and wide. How can we ever deny the might and the power of God? And God is waiting to give us all that resource as Christians. Again, turning to another verse here from Malachi chapter 3 in the Old Testament, the last book of the Old Testament here. And the writer, that Malachi, the prophet, is in some kind of dialogue here with God. He's trying to say to God, you know, what's going on in our world? You say, we wonder that, don't we? Every day we wonder what's going on in our world. And as Major Susan said in her prayer right at the beginning, how many prayers have gone up for our friends in Australia? And can I be absolutely honest with you? That I sometimes struggle with this fact that I've got to ask God to provide rain for Australia. Can I say that? Am I allowed to say that? I sometimes struggle because I look 3,500 miles northwest of there, and I find equally my friends in Jakarta, in Indonesia, suffering floods because they've had too much rain. And I think to myself, hang about a minute. Is prayer for me, and by dint of that, is prayer for you simply talking to God and telling him how to run his world? Is it? Is that what prayer is about? Saying, oi, it's like sort of going and going, excuse me, bandmaster, did you not notice that E-flat? Not a bass, by the way. It's like tapping God on the shoulder and going, oi, excuse me, did you not notice? Have you not seen? God's not like that. God, who is the creator of heaven and earth, who has infinite resources at his disposal, do you think he doesn't worry? Do you think he is not concerned? Do you think he doesn't have compassion on his creation? For Jesus himself said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing in the market? And doesn't your heavenly Father know if one of them falls to the ground? Do you think God is not concerned for his creation? You see, this is where I struggle, but I think struggle is good. This is where I try and work this out in my head, but I think that that's good too. And I would encourage you to do this, to think, not only when is God closest to you, but why is it that we are not tapping into the infinite resources of God moment by moment, as the songsters reminded us earlier. Let me read some of those words to you. Getting up each morning with the sunshine in my heart has been the best, Lord. We've said that, haven't we? And lying down each evening with my burdens at your feet, I found your rest, Lord. But the song is saying this: I've tried my best to grow each time you talk to me, but I can't believe you've finished your work of grace in me. Moment by moment, I give all my life to you, dedicate each thought to you. The beginning of every year within the Salvation Army, and I guess within other churches as well, we've had this whole idea of Commitment Sunday. What can you do more? What new thing can you do? You're not working hard enough. Look at you bunch of lazy so-and-sos. Come on, let's get the whip out. Let's beat you a bit harder and get you to do something more. No. Infinitely more about God. Can I ask you to do something for me? Every one of you. Okay? You might close your eyes because it might be off-putting to see other people doing this. See the image here of... Okay, open your eyes. See the image here of Oliver. Now close your eyes again. Please, sir, I want some more. How about cupping your hands together, forming a bowl, forming that bowl in front of you? That's why I'm asking you to close your eyes, because sometimes we are a bit embarrassed about actually moving our hands in public worship, but I just want you to do it. Please, sir, I want some more. Please, sir, I want some more. This is not about giving more to God. It's not about doing more for God. It's about receiving more from him, being committed to receiving from him moment by moment, because the fountain is deep and wide and it's there for you. And so often we've felt that God is like the beetle in the story by Charles Dickens, and we go with fear and trembling to him, and it's like we're being pushed and prodded to go and say, please God, I want more, I want, knowing that we're going to get turned away. But not with God. Not with God. God is saying to you, I am the maker of heaven and earth. I have infinite resources, infinite mercy, infinite grace, infinite love for you. For you. More love. More power. More of you in my life. And so maybe for Vision and Commitment Sunday 2020, it's not about what more can I do, but it's what more can God give me, what more I can receive of him in these moments. Take hold of this vision that God, with all his riches, might and power, is committed to you, to give to you, as he has in Jesus, given all for you. My prayer is simply that we will all be prepared to receive from God here in 2020. We've got these commitment cards here that I hope you've all got hold of one. Infinitely more. God is, through his mighty power at work with us, to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or think. And the prayer on the back of the card is simply this: God, help me to discover more of your infinite love and power in my life. Your love and power in my life. I'm going to ask Frankie to come back up and sing this song again for us, and we can join him with this, I'm sure. More love, more power, more of you in my life. It's a beautiful, reflective song. And as we sing these words through, to know more of God, to seek his face in all these things, maybe you want to sign this prayer or make this prayer. You might want to do so publicly. You might want to come and kneel here at the front as you make this your prayer. But just where you are, even, your commitment, your vision, is to make more time for God throughout your busy days, to turn your thoughts to him more through those busy days, knowing that the more of God is greater than your need can ever be. Let's sing this through and make your commitment, because God is committed to you today.